you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance with your host, Nick Urban. Today, we're picking up a conversation we began back on episode number 105, and that is on a Nobel Prize-winning molecule that was heavily researched by NASA for all kinds of different applications, but today we're mostly focusing on human health and pet health. Outside of science circles, this particular molecule is not very well known, but it holds incredible promise. Sharing this with us again is Chris Burris. Chris is a lifelong entrepreneur that began his journey around 1991. He is also a carbon materials nanoscientist. Don't worry if you don't know what that means yet. And he is the co-founder of a company called My Vital C. And this company is bringing pharmaceutical grade, safe for human consumption, C60 to the masses. Their special version of human safe C60 is called ESS60. It's the same C60 molecule, only this one is actually safe for human consumption. You'll learn why that distinction makes a big difference later in the episode. You'll also learn about how this wonder molecule is transforming people's skin, hair, nails, energy, sleep, workout recovery, jet lag, and all kinds of other things later in the episode. We recorded a second episode because I wanted to come back on after I'd played around with this molecule for several months, taking it on a near daily basis to report back what, if any, effects I actually felt. Because a lot of times with supplements, you don't actually notice really anything. So in this episode, we'll talk about that, the difference between C60 products, the safety of it, and most importantly, what it may do for you. If you find this interesting, I suggest you go back to episode number 105. You can find the links and resources to the previous episode we recorded together at mindbodypeak.com/105. And then for everything we discuss in this episode, that will be located at mindbodypeak.com/117. If you're enjoying this, you find it fascinating, go ahead and leave a rating and review wherever you're coming across this. If you're on YouTube, you can drop a comment. And whether it's a rating and review or a comment, I personally read each of these and love turning each of these episodes into conversations. So go ahead and drop a comment wherever you can. With that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Chris Burris. Chris, welcome back to another round of Mind Body Peak Performance.
Nick, thank you so much for having me back. I'm excited to kind of hear your experience and then share some, more geeky stuff, because that's just kind of fun to me.
Yes. And so for those who missed our last episode together, we will be talking about a molecule called C60. Will you give us a little background and recap what we talked about last time so that people who are tuning in and missed the last episode can get up to speed?
Absolutely. And first, go back and listen to that episode. It was really good. So make sure you check it out, but we'll give you a summary here. In 1985, three scientists here at the university, at Rice University here in Houston, discovered the third form of carbon. We're used to diamond, graphite, and now there's a whole gamut of molecules called fullerenes. The most abundant one is 60 carbon atoms in the shape of a soccer ball. So you have the spherical molecule of 60 carbon atoms. The three scientists who discovered it actually won the Nobel Prize for that discovery in 1996, so a short 11 years from discovery to being awarded the Nobel Prize. The material is amazing. It performs as well or better than the current best material in almost every application. Better inks, tires, batteries, photocells. They also thought for various artifacts, the structure on the exterior of that soccer ball molecule, they thought that the molecule would be toxic. So they put it in a toxicity study. Instead of being toxic, the test subjects that they gave it to, in this case, it was Wistar rats, lived 90% longer than the control group. So that was kind of the study as it was published. And as we started kind of absorbing the information in that publication, it's really a complex publication. That's what was really what kind of shifted my business partner and I from being happy-go-lucky carbon nanomaterial scientists into being really getting into the supplement industry. And then, Nick, that's why we're talking today.
Indeed. And happy-go-lucky carbon nanomaterial scientists is quite a mouthful and at the same time, fairly impressive. So can you explain a bit more about now the benefits that people are seeing when they use this? Because longevity is obviously a big one. And if even a fraction of that 90% transfers to humans, that would be groundbreaking. And I don't think the data is there yet because 90%...
We live long.
Yes, exactly. We'll wait and see, but that could take a long time. So if people don't want to wait and see, what else do you hear people experiencing in a shorter term basis?
I think it's time to start sharing maybe a little bit in depth of kind of testimonials, right? And it's really important. You know, these testimonials are stories. The way I share testimonials are either personal testimonials. I don't like, I like the actual binary data. Like this used to happen, now this happens. I don't like, you know what? I wake up in the morning and I just feel so much better. I don't like that because that's very subjective. I like things that are more concrete. So I'll tend to share those. Any person's testimonial that I share is going to be somebody I've had direct contact with either via email. Even if my business partner comes to me, I tend not to share those testimonials because I don't have that app. I mean, we could certainly find that person, but that traceability, like chain of custody, is really important to me. And so know that. And then finally, the FDA has not evaluated our product. It is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease. And just to be safe, like with these testimonials, just assume it won't happen to you, right? If you're interested in trying it, great. We'll give you a link at the end. But these are our testimonials. Our most consistent testimonial is our customers take the product in the morning. They report mental focus and energy during the day and then better sleep that night. It's a very consistent testimonial, even to the point, let me give you an example. So there was a lady in the office next door and I was chatting with her one day and she was sharing that she was going through oncology treatment and, you know, which is for cancer, and that she actually wasn't able to take all of her treatments because she couldn't afford it. And, you know, I'm like, hey, we've got testimonials in that realm, so certainly not making any claims. I gave her a couple of bottles. I went back to her about 10 days later. I was like, hey, how are you feeling? And you know, if somebody's excited or somebody has created this, which I'm excited, but I certainly didn't create this, right? I've been manufacturing this molecule since 1991. And now I'm in the supplement industry. So I'm not the crazy scientist, even though I have a lab coat. I'm not the crazy scientist who went into the lab to create something to help people sleep better. It's just what people say about our product. So when I asked her 10 days after I had given her the bottles, she was like, well, Chris, you know, she actually kind of felt bad. And like, Chris, I really haven't noticed anything. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I'm not offended. Like, it's not like you're poo-pooing my creation. But I did ask her, I said, so how's your sleep? And her eyes just got like bright, like, you know, like a deer in a headlight. She's like, oh, I've been waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And she was former military. And so 5 o'clock in the morning is the time that she's kind of wired normally to wake up. And she hadn't been waking up at that time. And I share that because sleep is this, if you're getting a little bit better sleep, we all kind of, I mean, what we should be doing is going, you know, to bed exactly at a certain time and waking up exactly at a certain time every day. But that's not the reality for most of us, right? We get an extra hour of sleep tonight. We get an extra, you know, one less hour of sleep a night. It's really fairly variable. At least it is in my life and a lot of the people that I talk to. And so when you start taking something like MyVitalC and you're getting an extra 30 minutes or an extra hour of sleep, you don't really notice it. And even when you do get that extra hour of sleep, I promise you, you feel better, right? As long as it's not too much, you're not getting into the 9 hours, you do feel better, but you kind of don't notice it. And you get that 1 hour less, maybe you notice it in the form of an extra cup of coffee. It's not just something that works. We certainly don't have like cell phone bars going, you got this much sleep, you're this rested, you're this able to handle your emotions. Like, you don't have cell phone bars for those types of things. If you're getting better sleep, which is allowing you to wake up before the alarm clock, then everything's better. Again, sleep is good for your mental, physical, and emotional well-being. And so that's one of our more consistent testimonials. And you know, when you think about the other testimonials, we really have testimonials from head to toe. I'm like, well, what is driving improvements in almost every system in the body that people are sharing with us? And you know, if it's just sleep, then that's enough, right? Like that would be enough. If it helped you get better sleep, done. And I think last time in the podcast, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit here, there are potentially other mechanisms that start to explain why you might be getting better sleep and other ways that it might be helping you.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump in here and interject as you give these testimonials to talk about what I noticed, if I noticed anything. And in terms of sleep, I do a lot of things for my sleep hygiene, a lot of practices. I follow all the best practices. I take a laundry list of supplements that I rotate, and C60 was one of the ones, or I guess in this case, ESS60, which we'll differentiate later. That was one that I didn't notice at first, but I didn't change anything else in my environment. And I didn't see like huge changes to my scores on my Oura Ring or other wearables. But I did notice that I sleep through the night more consistently with fewer wake-ups. And when I wake up, I feel more refreshed on the same or in certain cases, even less sleep. So I started out at a small dose, or I guess the normal dose of just one teaspoon, but because I weigh like 205, 210 pounds, when I increased my dosage to 2 teaspoons, that's when it was a sweet spot. And it could have also just been that I had been taking it for longer and it built up in my system, and then the effects would have expressed themselves regardless. And maybe I'll try bringing the dose back down, but sleep is one that I can say I do notice an effect from.
Yeah. And that, again, that fits really consistently with our customers. So at some point you're like, yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't know if you've dropped off of it, because if you drop off of it, you often notice a difference, right? Like I got to the point in the early days in 2018, we really started bringing this to market. And I started taking it on a more regular basis, but it wasn't yet part of my coffee routine. And as such, I would end up on some days having not taken it, right? And it was always true that if I was in the middle of the day and I was yawning, thinking I needed a nap or needed another cup of coffee, I could always look back and I hadn't taken my Vital C that morning. And so again, it fits into this like profound and subtle, which is contradictory. But, you know, again, if it's subtle and good related to sleep, that has a profound impact on your overall well-being.
Absolutely. And one thing you mentioned last time we talked that I want to discuss now, because I've been thinking more about it, is the half-life and how long it actually lasts in the body. Because I think you said it lasts like 7 to 10 days or exerts some effects that long. So if you miss a dose, say one day, are you still going to be getting a lot of the same benefits because it's lasting in your body?
Again, the results are more subtle, and we can lean on the science a little bit here. And this is a pretty amazing aspect. I probably shared in the last podcast, we're going to recreate that initial study where the rats live 90% longer. It's been more than 10 years. Nobody stepped up to do that. We're already doing the background science so that we can take this into a lab and do it. That's going to be a 5+ year study. That's going to be extremely expensive. We're in the process of saving for that right now. One of the artifacts of that particular study is the dosing for the rats. So they didn't give the rats any dosing until month 10. So for a rat, they're going into late adolescence, early adulthood at month 10. And then they stopped giving them any doses at month 17. So it was only for 17 months that they received the product. Typical Worcester rat dies at 32 months, right? So what was that? Another 15 months after that, all of the control group, those rats given water, were dead. And then those rats that were dosed with the ESS60 continued to live out to 62 months, right? So you're talking some 40 some odd months longer after the dosing stopped, right? So there has to be some resident impact, right? And current thought process is, when we say it gets out of your body in 7 to 10 days, that's the measurable amount, right? And it goes out in your feces. That's a measurable amount that you can trace through a rat, right? And at some point, your margin of error is so small because you're just, you know, you're missing 10,000, 100,000, a million molecules of this, which you cannot really measure, right? Like that's just, so it's staying resident in your body, but it's still actually getting out of your system in the larger quantity. So that, I think that's where that 7 to 10 days. And you think about the, my business coach, he's at about 5 days, that he's got to start using the alarm clock again. My experience, and I'll tell you, it was only on the really busy days, like mentally taxing. I think a lot of people may not be aware how much energy having mental focus takes, right? Our brain uses so much of the energy that we consume, of the food that we consume at for energy. And so it was really on the days that maybe I was doing back-to-back podcasts, maybe I was actually, you know, writing articles where I was really mentally taxing myself, that was that coupled with me not taking that serving that morning that caused me to go like, oh wow, I forgot to take it this morning. It was that type of situation. So to miss one day, I don't think that's any problem. And you might notice our shortest testimonial, it's a video from a lady out of the UK. She said, I took my first serving this morning and I didn't even finish my cup of coffee. You know, and if you're a coffee drinker and you're like, by I don't know, by 10 a.m. I finished my first one. She didn't even finish her first one. So it can have in some people, significant impacts and pretty immediate impacts. Just a real quick question, Nick. Do you take it in the morning? What was your kind of schedule for taking it?
Yeah, I usually take it in the morning unless I forget, and then I'll take it in the evening. I like to take it alongside my coffee, depending on the form I'm using. If I'm using the MCT form in my coffee, and if it's the olive oil or avocado oil, I will use it on the side because I don't want to mix that in my coffee. But usually in the morning.
Did you notice, and you may not have been looking for it, and again, this can be very subtle. We have a small percentage of people, if they take it later in the day, it will keep them up. So there is an energy component to this. I think that number is in the 5% range. And even if it goes up to the 10% range, I believe that there's something different going on. I think what's happening, and I don't know if you found this, as I go to sleep, I could keep work. Like it used to be the case that if my mind was racing before I went to sleep, it was probably not worth trying to go to sleep because I was just going to stay up and, you know, ruminate about stuff. When I started taking the product on a regular basis, I'd go to sleep. Like I could work, I could get up. I was even debating like maybe I shouldn't go to sleep because I'm just, my mind is processing stuff so fast, but my head is the pillow and I go out. And then if I got to wake up and use the restroom, I wake up to use the restroom, mind is racing, I'm ready to go. Like I could just get up and keep working or go back to sleep. And when my head hits the pillow, I'm out. And so I think that 5 to 10% cases, people will probably have no kind of mind quieting techniques and don't just choose not to go to bed because they're so, you know, quote unquote, wide awake.
Here's my unscientific theory of why that could be. And I think that there's a valid argument for the fact that we haven't touched on the mechanisms in this show, but as you elegantly described last time, you called ESS60 a boss?
Yeah.
Buffering oxidative stress system. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And so I think that people who have really high oxidative stress, lots of free radicals rummaging and ravaging their body, are going to experience more inflammation, less energy, lots of problems like that. So there's a lot of things that take away our energy. Like that's one of them, like micro traumas throughout our lives, lots of little things eroded our energy. And so the first step to improving energy is to remove those friction points, obviously. But when you are introducing something that can help the body buffer some of that oxidative stress, I could see an argument that that would actually indirectly increase energy until you get to a stable level. And then once you normalize that, then all of a sudden, perhaps the energy increasing effect at night would dissipate.
Yeah, I think that could be very true, right? Like that has a little bit of parallels with what I'm saying, which is just like you're not aware of how tired you actually are, and that's from the energy boost of potentially being that, you know, the boss system, the buffering oxidative stress system. Just to add, so I don't know if we got into, you know, we started doing a study with Oura Ring, and that fell off because of pandemic, and really I need to reach back out to him. We continued the survey piece of that study, And the survey piece was basically, let's collect 10 days of data, like how was your sleep? How restless was your sleep? How'd you feel the next day? Let's collect 10 days of data before trying the product, 10 days on the product, 10 days off the product, 10 days back on the product. And universally, people had improvements in sleep, right? Like just 100% of the people who participated had improvements in sleep. And some cases it was minor improvements, some cases it was significant improvements, but always improvements of sleep. So you look back to that, when I was having this conversation, his name's Benjamin Smur, and he's now a, I think he's an assistant professor at the University of California, San Diego. I was like, hey, you probably have some interesting data about drinking, like people drinking and how it impacts their sleep. And he's like, right away, you know, here's mine. And the resting heart rate tends to take a lot longer. If you haven't had alcohol and you haven't had exertive, you know, HIIT training, exertive exercise right before sleep, you typically start pretty, like you drop into your low resting heart rate really quickly. And he showed this long, slow curve. And he's like, that's two glasses of wine. And the first couple, and this will oscillate for me, but the first couple of charts that I looked at where I had been drinking more than two glasses of wine didn't, like, if I had that slower drop, it was significantly faster than what he had described, or in some cases, I didn't even have that drop. Again, this goes to sleep. It also goes to, in that original study, there were very well demonstrated protective effects of the liver. The liver is responsible for processing the alcohol. So like there, you probably have some parallels there. So you're actually able to process it faster, get it out of your system, and then get to a normal sleep.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I did my own research for an article I wrote on C60, and I came across a lot of different like studies and what the research was saying. And I will run through a short list of them and you can go ahead and give your comments. And of course, this is not medical advice. It's not claims or anything. It's just what I discovered in the research. And then also from overwhelming anecdotes from people that have been using C60 for a long time and documented their observations online. So the first one is longevity and anti-aging benefits, as we've discussed in the previous show. Then energy and mitochondrial protection, skin and hair benefits, especially when applied topically. Athletic performance and recovery, mostly through the mechanism of improving recovery, allowing you to work out again faster. Protection from major stressors like non-native EMF and ionizing radiation. So I think it'd be a good idea to use when I fly or am exposed to like a CAT scan or something like that. And then it has a modulating effect on the immune system. There's potential benefits for connective tissue, bones, joints, ligaments, that kind of thing. Neuroprotection and cognition, especially if you have a TBI or anything like that, any degenerative condition, then I would look into C60 some more, or ESS60 in this case. And then vision and pet health seem to be two others that some people report improvements to.
So that's a pretty long list. I'll go through, I'll kind of spot in on some of these. Longevity, obviously, like we're not going to run human trials on longevity. If that bears out, right? Because it is a transition from a Wistar rat into a human. When and if it bears out, it's just going to be like, hey, it turns out that all these people that are MyVitalC customers seem to still be alive. And a lot of their peers are not. And the commonality is X. It'd be kind of cool if we we have to make a name for it. You know, the blue zone people are people in different parts of the world that tend to eat a fairly similar diet and live longer than the average human, right? It'd be kind of cool if we've got like an MBC zone, right? In my model, C zone of people who are like, hey, you're part of the MBC crowd. You're still alive. That would be cool. Yeah, mitochondria. So we talked a little bit about the last podcast. Go listen to it. We really jumped into the buffering oxidative stress system, how that soccer ball shaped molecule can reside in the mitochondria. We got peer reviewed published research that shows that it gets there, and we also have peer reviewed published research that shows it's a strong antioxidant. So to work as an antioxidant inside the mitochondria has some potential benefits. Skin and hair. We actually have skin and hair. Products. They're a combination. They're born out of, it's kind of an interesting story. We already got we're getting good skin and hair testimonials just from people taking the product orally, right? I'm not sure that the benefits are better on skin, like if you put it topically, but we were certainly getting testimonials already. We have one of my business partners approached me and she was like, hey, when I take a sip of the product, and sometimes people will just take it right out of the bottle, there's a little spillage and I take that and I put it on my face and I really like the benefits. I think we need to come up with a skin serum. And it, you know, I really wasn't that interested in getting into the health supplement market to begin with. So you can have a little picture of how excited I was to be in the skin serum market. But we ended up coming out with one, right? This is our little up box of a face serum. And again, I don't know what the testimonials were going to be. I didn't know what they were going to look like. My wife loves the product. Like, it sells really well. The testimonials are really solid. So if you think in terms of skin and hair, and then we've actually created a combo, which is a peptide that we call UTH-29, and then the ESS-60 as an activator. So you put two squirts of the peptide lotion, the UTH-29 lotion, and then two drops of the ESS-60 activator. It has kind of an additional benefit that it allows you, if you've got oily skin, you could do a little bit less of the activator. If you have dry skin, you can do a little bit more of the activator.
Did you ever consider adding copper peptide, GHKCU, into that mix? Okay.
We call it UTH-29, right? Because finding quality copper peptide is a non-trivial task. And so, you know, we've got a lab, we've got the equipment. And, you know, when we finally found one in this cloud of blue powder, we're like, let's make sure that people understand that it's distinct. And the way that happened is we came out with the face serum. It was doing really well. My director of research came to me. He's like, hey, Chris, there's this peptide, copper peptide. It's got 30 years of skin and hair improvement research on it. And I'm like, 30 years? Wow, that's impressive. So I just kind of started digging into the research. We're like, yeah, we need to do that. Like, this is something that should be on the market. And then it turns out that copper peptide and our UTH-29 is water soluble. Obviously, our ESS-60 is oil soluble. So I don't like to, whenever I can, I want to keep it as natural as possible. You can, you know, cram these together chemically with an emulsifier. We're like, let's just stay away from the emulsifier and make it a two-step system that you really activate right in your hand. And again, the testimonials on that are just phenomenal.
Good choice. I've been meaning to play around with, I have injectable copper peptide, but I really would prefer to use topical. And it seems like the C60 is the perfect marriage of the two. So I'm looking forward to trying that at some point. And then to actually use these, like for my hair, would I be putting the C60 copper peptide on my hair directly, or?
This is the hair gel, actually, right? So it's a blue, not surprising, it's a blue gel. I don't know if this one is, I don't think this one works. That's why it's here in my demo area. It's a blue kind of olive oil, aloe vera based gel. You mix those two in your hand. And so what I do is when I'm in the shower or right when you get out of the shower, you just mix it in your hand, you know, push the hair out of the way, get it onto your scalp. And sometimes I'll do that with microneedling. That's your own discretion. You can't really recommend that to really anyone.
Mm. And so you do it after microneedling, or is that before?
I've played around with it. I usually do it after.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I usually do it in the shower because with microneedling, you know, I've got a little spray bottle of rubbing alcohol. I want that. That's, you know, whatever bacteria may be on that, I want that gone. You don't want to be injecting bacteria, even if it's only, you know, 5 millimeters. And then rinse it off. And then I'll roll my scalp. I've done some kind of places with age spots. I'll roll that too from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, microneedling is very popular these days. I haven't tried it. I've read a lot about it being really useful if done properly, but it's difficult, much more difficult than most people realize to do it properly because there's like a narrow therapeutic band. If you don't do it enough, then you're not getting the benefits. And if you do a little too much, you can do more damage than you are good.
And just to share with your audience, the premise is basically you've got really small, short, fairly short needles. And you're pricking your skin, right? You're causing damage. And as your body goes to repair that damage, it's like, hey, we're in repair mode. Oh, look, there's a liver spot. Let's lighten that up while we're here, right? Like it's doing additional work while it's in the neighborhood. That's skin and hair, athletic recovery. I don't know if we talked much about Anthony Kunkel, the two-time US. Okay, go back and listen to the previous podcast. It's really good. The long and short of Anthony, one dose, he didn't notice anything. Triple the dose, he does. He's a two-time U.S. ultra running champion. He's won a U.S. Championship at 50 miles and one at 100K. He says, I don't think it helps with recovery. I believe it prevents damage in the first place. And he goes on to say, the reason I say that is on the last 5 miles of a 50-mile run, where strength and stability were previously a problem, they're just not anymore. And I just saw him, he's posted on Instagram, he just did I think it was a 10K, just had a great race. And he's the kind of guy who's like, last year I was burning, I don't know, 290 watts. This year I burned 308 watts. And I didn't even know that I had it in me last year. And he just keeps improving. It's fascinating to follow him. He's very forthcoming with his journaling and his supplementation process and everything. It's really cool.
Yeah, he's a good follow for a lot of the endurance side. And then on the strength side, like, we don't want to always prevent a certain amount of damage because the muscle satellite cells and everything, that's some of the signal to actually grow and to adapt and to build new healthy muscle. Do you know if that's going to interfere if I like train with weights or other forms of resistance training?
I am not aware of any hindrance, right? Like, and you're right. If you prevent damage, like the process of building muscle is to damage the muscle and have it repair itself in a stronger and usually larger state. I haven't seen any data on that. I have seen, and this is very anecdotal, it's a video, a guy who's kind of big proponent of C60. He was talking about actually tearing muscles off of his ligaments, right? Not a good plan, but he's actually able to increase the amount of force out from his muscles to the point that it was detrimental to him, right? So that's interesting, potentially exciting, also potentially problematic. Like, if you're the kind of person who's just going to go for it as much as you can, sometimes taking this product is going to, you know, could be probably like, if it helps you push too much, that can be a problem.
That's what I was thinking, that maybe if you reduce the damage that's happening per repetition in the gym, then you're able to extend your workout longer and get more of a stimulus from the training. And if you do it strategically and smartly, that could lead to a net positive. Not sure. I haven't seen any research around strength specifically.
Frankly, especially if you think about getting into the mitochondria and having it work more efficiently, like you're stressing the muscle cells, they've got mitochondria in them that are actually producing the energy. So like if you could benefit that would be really good. So that would make sense. Immune system, we talk in terms of damping the cytokine storm, right? Like that's one of the key things, certainly with, you know, coming out on the back end of COVID. There is the potential, there is some research that suggests potential benefits. Again, no claims and there's no research on it, but there is some support. There is the belief of some support of the immune system. Connective tissue. So there are some studies that talk about actually doing a good job of supporting cartilage and cartilage replacement. Again, these are on animal models that are not humans. So you could think of it in terms of potentially a chondroitin replacement, where you're getting those ligaments and those joint benefits. Again, no research on humans. Neuroprotective effects, and if you go into cognitive and degenerative diseases, this is even, you know, somewhat dangerous for me to even talk about, right? So again, disclaimer, we do have testimonials of people with neurodegenerative diseases that have reported benefits. Like in one particular example, it's a friend of my wife and I, his father's, it was in a very, very bad way. And he was just telling us very specific stories about improvements in the cognition of his father that he hadn't seen in years. Vision, definitely testimonials about vision. Again, can't make any claims. They really do run the gamut of, we've got one case where there was like a torn retina. A lady got snowed in, so she couldn't get back to her optometrist. When she finally got back to her optometrist, like a week later than she was supposed to or something, it had healed, and the optometrist was like befuddled, didn't really understand how that works. I also don't understand how that works. So vision, you know, take with a grain of salt. And then finally, pet health. You know, if you've got Wistar rats that are living 90% longer, to extrapolate that to a pet makes perfect sense, right? No claims here, but that extrapolation does make sense. It also makes sense that if there's something that's going to extend your life, has the potential to extend your life, and ultimately is proven to extend your life, it would be very weird for it just to like extend your life but not have any health benefits. Like these rats are healthy. I joke, but there's some seriousness here. In that original study where the test subjects given the MyVitalC formula lived 90% longer, there were no notations that these rats were walking around with little rat walkers, you know, and little rat oxygen tanks. Like, they lived healthy rat lives. They just lived them 90% longer than the control group. Yeah, so pet health is something that's certainly in there. And we have a dog and cat version of our product. I love to throw out there, we sell a lot more dog product than we do cat product. I don't know if cat lovers aren't really cat lovers and dog lovers are, but our data says that's true.
Interesting. One of my theories behind how a lot of this works is, like, as you were saying earlier, through the mitochondria, which are really a fascinating organelle, like a subcomponent of cells, because not only are they known as the, quote, energy powerhouse of the cell, which that alone would be remarkable, because when there's a disease condition and the body must choose which systems to prioritize, you don't want to have a deficiency of energy, because then your immune system will go offline or your hair growth will go offline. Something will have to suffer in some way. So if that's all mitochondria did is just act as an energy factory, that would be important to prioritize in its own right. But then there's some research now emerging that puts them in a different role as environmental sensors. And based on, there's something called the cell danger response, where if you're not in a good environment, then your mitochondria will shift energy production systems and you'll be in a different state based on like your environmental signals. So I think that anywhere you see a high concentration of mitochondria, the heart, the eyes, where else? Muscles, a lot of these different systems that have cells that are really rich in mitochondria, you should see benefits when you're protecting them better and creating less byproducts, like exhaust type stuff.
One of the articles that we kind of talked on before, talked about before we got on air, was using C60 as a wound healer, right? To help your wounds heal. And it talks about, in this case, they actually use an aqueous fluorine dispersion. There's not toxicity data on that. So that's something that we're looking at. But I did a video recently where I would just stay away from it because although there's lots of good data on, hey, it helps this system and this rat, this system and this mouse, this wound healing, which we're talking about, there isn't this kind of comprehensive and traditional toxicology work on it. And so you really do want to wait until that's out. It talked about the aryl hydrogen receptor and the macrophages. So saying that what C60 is doing is impacting this aryl hydrogen receptor. And I don't know if that's what you're talking about. I had to like kind of go double check that. It has a role in regulating immunity, stem cell maintenance, and cellular differentiation. So if you have a stem cell, like which way is it going to go, be a muscle, liver, heart, whatever. And it, as I was kind of researching into that AHR, right? Again, that's aryl hydrocarbon receptor. It was talking about being something that reacts to environmental impacts. And so we're all like, I mean, it's amazing how the body is, right? Like there's so many things in desperate areas that work very similar and have similar triggers and this biology is just fascinating. I love it.
We've also talked about C60 and you've mentioned ESS60. And in the previous show, we mentioned the difference. The way I see it, C60 is a generic term for any carbon 60. And oftentimes, the majority of the time, it's industrial grade and it contains potential contaminants and, worse of all, carcinogens. And it's not necessarily fit for human consumption. You don't really know what you're getting. It could be really cheap and do more damage than it's doing good, or it could work fine, but you're rolling the dice. And then ESS60 is the same one that a lot of the actual research has used. And I believe it's your product. And that one is fit for human consumption.
Exactly. right? Like the long and short is C60 industrial applications. There's actually peer-reviewed published research that proves it's harmful. You kind of touched on that. ESS60 is C60 that's been processed for safer human consumption.
And then the other consideration people tend to have when they're looking at these products is to choose between olive oil, well, I guess C60 dissolved in olive oil, MCT oil, which is a form of like purified coconut oil, or avocado oil. And the main difference I see in terms of like why you'd choose one or the other is the concentration. Like, of course, it depends on what your goals are, but like you can only have, can only dissolve so much C60 in all the oils, but olive oil is more than twice as concentrated of C60 than MCT, which is the least potent in terms of concentration.
To break that down, so you get about 0.8 milligrams per milliliter of ESS60 in olive oil, and then about 0.6 milligrams per milliliter ESS60 in avocado oil, and then 0.3 in MCT oil. And so my routine is I do kind of an MCT in my coffee, really a teaspoon and a half in my coffee. While that's blending, I scarf down a teaspoon and a half of the olive oil product, and then I'll throw it on salads for lunch.
So what's like the theoretical upper limit on how much C60 you can have per teaspoon in the different products? Like, I've seen claims that seem like they don't fit what we just talked about.
We actually at one point tested 22 of the brands that are on the market of this and kind of industrial C60 stuff. And the way I describe it is the concentrations were woefully low. In fact, only one had the concentration, other than ours, of course, had the concentration that they claimed in it. And one actually did have higher. And we've never, as much work as we've done, been able to get a higher amount dissolved in olive oil. This is the particular one. And what we believe is going on is you can actually get extremely small particles of C60 in this case, because it's industrial grade, to dissolve. You can also, residual solvents, which is the thing that you're concerned about, will actually increase the solubility of C60 in any of these oils, right? So you got a little bit more toluene lying around, in a kind of a toluene soaked C60, you'll get more C60 into the olive oil because it's already dissolved. Obviously, not a good thing. That is something that you want to stay away from. The other alternative is you can get these particles, really small particles, suspended, but it's well understood that you can, really industrial C60, even our ESS60 is a black powder. You can just consume the ESS60 black powder because it doesn't have the solvents. You can consume it and you'll just excrete it out. It's not bioavailable. When it dissolves into the olive oil, avocado oil, or MCT oil, it's available on a monomolecular level. So each individual molecule is now isolated from each other molecule. So there's no clear crystalline structure. You can think of like salt as salt crystals, very different than, salt water. If you have a highly concentrated salt water, it's significantly saltier than even if you're sticking some salt crystals in your mouth, because there's so much access to that salt in that dissolved salt water, right? So we know if it's suspended that it's not as bioavailable. So, I'm a very altruistic person in this regard. We've been manufacturing this molecule since 1991. We've got the lab, we've got the HPLC. We've been, delivering to research institutions around the world. HPLC stands for High Performance Liquid Chromatography. That's the equipment to identify the concentration of your product. We do send our product out for testing, of course, like that's a good backup. But we actually test our batches multiple times, right? Where another company isn't going to do that because it's expensive. It's a cost for us. We just take a sample and run it over to our HPLC and it's done. We recognized when we went from small 1 liter flasks to much larger, we started getting like 30 liter stainless steel vats, that because there's something in the fluid dynamics that causes it to take longer to dissolve the same amount of product. And so we know that because we're testing it, day over day over day. So our mixing protocol now is 2.5 to 3 weeks, not 2 weeks. The initial protocol was 2 weeks. And so I kind of altruistically say, these people are trying to make a good product, right? They don't really understand C60. They're buying industrial C60 because they think it doesn't make a difference. They're putting that C60 in a container, some container, whether it's a big container or a small container, of oil. They're mixing it according to that original study published back in 2012, and they hope that they're delivering the right concentration. And I love that thought process better than the other one is more malicious and saying, I don't care what the concentration is, we just got to sell this. So I'm pretty altruistic. They're trying to make a good product. They just don't have the expertise to do it.
Yeah, sometimes I'll buy supplements in bulk, like a powder, like say one particular amino acid, maybe glycine or taurine for sleep, or creatine monohydrate. And it's like mostly the same stuff as long as it's clean. You can really shop for price. And if you find the cheapest one that adheres to the basics of quality control, and you should be good. But C60 seems like it's the opposite. Like, you want to be very careful when you're choosing a product, mostly because it's not very well known. And a lot of people see it as a great money-making opportunity and don't really care about the effects it may or may not have on their customers.
And well, if you're thinking in terms of industrial C60 and the residual solvents, then yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, Chris, when I first came across this, maybe 4 or 5, what year is it? No, I guess probably like 6 or 7 years ago, I didn't think much of it because I would see one study that would show promise and then another one that showed either inconclusive results concern. Exactly. And then as I dug into it more recently, when we were talking last, I discovered that a lot of the studies that showed issue were problematic in some pretty serious ways. And also there's a total lack of incentivization for people to study C60. No one's going to be patenting it and making millions or billions in profit from this molecule.
Yeah. Yeah. Big pharma is the opposite of interested in this. Our concern actually is big pharma has some understanding of the benefits that people are getting and takes some steps to shut it down. That is a concern of ours, because that's something that could happen.
What about a big biotech company taking the C60 molecule, and maybe this has already been done actually, taking it and then trying to tweak it just a little bit so they can patent it and then applying it to humans and seeing very different results?
Well, I think some of that might happen with water soluble. So the value of water soluble is you can get a much higher concentration and it's more bioavailable, right? There's some debate, although in the studies that we're seeing where it's working in certain systems and rat models, mice models, whatever, maybe even yeast, more simple animals, that they're seeing benefits. The thing that remains to be seen is there may be value in the fact that it's a lipid fullerene, right? So it's dissolved in oil, so it's attached to an oil. Does that have impact on how the body decides to use it or can use it, right? Understanding that our cell walls are oil-based, right? So having a molecule that has an oil already attached could actually facilitate getting it into the cell wall, getting it into the mitochondria. Whereas if it's water soluble, what does that process look like? Does it need to go through an extra step, or is it not even available? And those are things that need to be, researched and figured out.
Do you personally combine C60 with anything, or have you heard of people stacking it with other things? One example that I have is I have a Brown's gas machine here that I use regularly, which is like an upgraded version of molecular hydrogen with a bunch of other constituents within it. And I will use that. And I've been told, I haven't seen that much research on it, but it acts like a battery, and together it allows the C60 to stay in the bloodstream longer. I'm not sure about the truth behind this, but have you heard of any other stacks?
There is a guy in the C60 space. He builds himself as a scientist. That's actually in his kind of moniker as he's out there talking about C60. And he talks about, combine it with hydrogen, you have XYZ effect. Talks about eat it with an apple because the hydrogen in the apple has XYZ effect. There just is no research, right? Like, you can have, it's okay to be a scientist and have theories, but a scientist has to let you know that those are theories. Our theory is this, and this is why. You can even say this is why, like, we have a Bosch theory, the buffering oxidative stress system. It's a theory. I share with you, it's a theory. I don't go out and say it's a fact. This is positively impacting your mitochondria and you should be taking it yesterday. Like, that's not the right approach. That's not the scientific approach. Hey, here's a theory. It makes sense. We know We know for sure from peer reviewed, but this is fact, that it does get into the mitochondria. This is fact. It is an antioxidant. We know that it works a little bit different than other traditional antioxidants. So here's the current theory that it's benefiting the mitochondria, but that's a theory. So it can very well be true that hydrogen helps. I take hydrogen from time to time. I'm not religious about it. You know, just in a tablet, drop it in water. The study that I read is they were looking at oxidative stress markers on the surface of the skin, and it was something ridiculous. Like within 15 minutes of drinking some hydrogen water, they actually saw a reduction in the oxidative stress markers on the surface of the skin. So hydrogen is, like, people just don't really understand how small of a molecule that hydrogen is. It goes where it wants, right? It goes to, like, it's a big, in the oil, we're in Houston, so they're all in gas town. Hydrogen embrittlement is extremely dangerous, and it has to be really well managed, because it'll just go, like, thin amounts of steel, it just goes through it. Like, it's just gone. And so to get from, you know, having consumed it, so your stomach to the surface of the skin in 15 minutes, like, that kind of gives me thinks that there's promise there. Now, I don't know how that sits and if it sits with ESS60, but I'll take it together. We do get questions fairly regularly about potential medical interactions, medicine interactions, and other supplement interactions. One, if it's a medicine and it's a key for your health, make sure you have a conversation with your doctor, follow what he says. But we don't have any contraindications with any sort of medications or any sort of other supplements.
Well, let's talk about some different stacks you can do then, Chris, because I'm thinking now of a flight supplement stack or flight protocol stack that I can do to reduce some of the damage that occurs from frequent flying, changing time zones, all that stuff. So I'm imagining using molecular hydrogen, C60, and another antioxidant, maybe melatonin or glutathione or liposomal vitamin C, something like that. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I took this note, right? You were talking about stressors like EMF, potentially taking them on flights. I highly recommend taking it on flights. And I may have missed part of your question, but let me address this. I highly recommend taking it on flights, because my wife and I have actually known a significant positive impact on jet lag, right? So flying to the other side of the world, where you're talking about, you know, a 12-hour difference, 18-hour difference, and really barely feeling the impact, like taking a nap one day in the first 4 days, and that's it. Like, that's all that we notice. That's a pretty phenomenal thing. We actually have a pilot who ended up spinning up a brand over in the Middle East, and his positive impact on flying, and there is good data on EMF. Now, you were talking about a stack. I don't really have a stack that might approach the mitigate those, but you know, there's things out there that you could look into, and frankly, you're pretty good.
Well, Chris, this has been fun. I'm glad we got back together for a round two here and discussed some of the effects that I'm noticing after a handful of weeks of using My Vital C's ESS60.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you remember the link? I don't remember it off the top of my head. I just, to provide, if anybody's interested in trying it, let's make sure that they can get over to it.
Yeah, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I will put the link in the description and the show notes below, so you can check that out. And you set up a special promo for anyone tuning in who wants to give My Vital C a shot.
Yeah, and when you go to that link, so just go to the link in the show notes. When you go to that link, you'll land on the page. You can get an individual bottle, or you can order a subscription. We do a 25% discount on subscription. Even if you just want to try it, we've got a team. Our customer service team has like 750 five-star reviews. They're not trained to talk you out of canceling your subscription. Just take advantage of that discount, because I just want you to have that discount. And then there'll also be a coupon code that gets you an additional $10 off of, actually, I think it's $15, $10 or $15 off of your initial order.
Awesome. And I will also put the links to your socials and everything in the show notes, because I know you have to run. But Chris, thanks for joining me today.
Nick, thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.